whole lot of turning this morning. We're going to try to get through as much as we can. We're going to be teaching on the Church of Christ and what they believe, their doctrine. Christ members would be the Robertsons, you know, from Duck Dynasty. They're members of the Church of Christ, and I'm not telling you that every Church of Christ person is lost and on their way to hell, right? However, they have fooled a lot of people in their doctrine, and they've turned them astray and led them down something that the Bible doesn't teach. Therefore, a lot of them are going to go to hell because they're trusting in being baptized rather than being born again, right? And I also ain't saying that Phil Robertson ain't saved. I read one of his books, and he had his testimony in there. And just as far as the testimony goes, I mean that. But it sounded pretty solid. However, Phil Robertson is now leading people astray and sending folks to hell. I was watching an interview with him, and he was talking about how he was on an airplane, and he had been witnessing to this flight attendant. He drew something out on the piece of paper and was talking about how the Lord came down and love came down and died on a cross for her and was buried, rose again 3 days later. He said the lady was just boo-hooing. He said, all right, now then, when you get off this plane, go find somebody to baptize you. Man, you had her hook, line, and sinker, you know? Now then you're telling her, hey, go over here and get dipped in water and be saved. Well, now that's not what it is, right? Conviction was there. She was ripe for the picking. Instead of saying, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, he said, hey, go find your Church of Christ elder and get baptized. See what I'm saying? And that's what we're going to be going over for just a little bit this morning. All right, so the Church of Christ began in the early 19th century. It was led by Thomas and Alexander Campbell from Pennsylvania, and there was also Barton Stone from Kentucky, and they're the ones that pretty well founded the movement. Now then, it's just like any other denomination. You've often got different sects, right, or S-E-C-T-S. You'll have, or different camps, if you would. You've got a Southern Baptist, and you've got an American Baptist, right? That divided during the Civil War. You've also got Independent Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Free Will Baptist, and all that kind of stuff. Well, Barton Stone and the Campbells had their own little different version of the same thing, right? There'll be some minor differences there, but as the core doctrine exists, it'll be relatively the same. Now then, you'll often hear the Church of Christ people called Campbellites. It means they're a follower of Alexander Campbell, right? Same way Christians were first called Christians at Antioch. It was disciples of the Lord. They were called Christians because they were followers of Christ. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. After the Lord had went back into heaven, Paul comes on the scene. Now then, during Paul's day, you had Paulicians, right? They were followers of Paul. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Then after Paul, you had Timotheans, right? You had, I can't remember John's protege, but you had some named after him, right? Same way we joke around with people back at our church and or in our little area, and I'll be like, oh, you're a Coleyite, ain't you? Because there's a fella down the road, his name is Joe Coley. Oh, you're a follower of Joe Coley, you a Coleyite. And folks mess with me and say, well, you're a Hortonite, right? Because my pastor's Richard Horton. So you've got Ruckmanites, and you got Sextonites, and all that kind of stuff. That's where it was derived from, right? So if you hear somebody say, oh, they're a bunch of Campbellites down the road, that means they're a Church of Christ. They follow the teachings of Alexander Campbell. Now then, just like an Independent Baptist, they're autonomous in nature, meaning they're self-governed. You don't have a Church of Christ association. There's liable to be one, but as a whole, each church governs itself, right? Now then, within that, you're liable to find all sorts of different stuff, right? As a whole, the Church of Christ will not allow a piano inside its walls. I don't understand that one. There's been several other people. Spurgeon, he refused to have a pipe organ in his church. I don't know where they got that, right? But Church of Christ are still sticking to it. They refuse to have any sort of instruments inside their church. That being said, if you watch the Robertsons, Annie, it looks like they have guitars and pianos and all that in their church. But they're autonomous, so each one does differently. a little bit, just like New Hope Independent Baptist Church will run a little bit differently than Mount Zion Baptist Church in Shelby, right? And it'll run a little bit different than Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola, and a little bit different than Calvary Baptist in Sylacauga, right? There's just little niches here. So, look, if you walk up to a Campbellite and you're like, oh, you believe this? And he says, no, I don't. Okay, they're autonomous. They might be a little bit different. I know this Church of God fella, I preached at their church one time. I'll preach for the Pope if he'll allow me 5 minutes to go in there and tell them they're all going to hell, right? Went and preached at the Church of God church. These jokers, as a whole, Church of God believes in speaking in tongues and losing your salvation, right? These jokers believed in eternal security and the King James Bible and speaking in tongues, right? They were up their own breed over there at that church. We'll find that a little bit everywhere. So if you know some and you say, well, that ain't quite the case with them, they're autonomous. Every church will be a little bit different in some way, form, or fashion. All right, now then, to what they believe. They believe over Mark 16:16, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. All right, so they believe that salvation comes by faith plus baptism. They say if you have faith and not baptism, you're going to hell. You have baptism and no faith, you're going to hell. Right? Now then, we know that's not the case. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That verse alone should pretty well seal the deal and shut the door on the whole subject. Right? But it don't. Just like any other denomination that teaches falsely in any way, form, or fashion, they'll take the Bible and twist it to their own means, to mean whatever they want it to, and then there you are. Okay? So they believe that salvation comes by faith plus baptism. They try to teach that it's a obedience thing. Well, Jesus Christ said this, so that means, bless God, you got to do it. I told y'all once before, but I had a fellow in Guam with us. He was going to our church. He had just surrendered to preach. Now then, most dangerous person in the world is somebody that knows just enough Bible. Right? They know that much Bible, they know just enough to be very dangerous. Right? They'll twist it and turn it 100 different ways and be 100 different ways wrong. Right? This preacher, he was like, man, if Jesus Christ said it, that means it applies to us. And me and my pastor's trying to tell him, hey, buddy, you know, there's a thing called dispensations, and you ain't going to hell if you call your brother a fool, right? And he couldn't get a hold of that. Well, the same way with the Campbellites. They just can't get a hold of that rightly dividing for some reason. So over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. All right, and then over in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. All right, the Bible says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So again, they try to use the argument that they're being obedient. Salvation requires obedience. They are right. It does require obedience, but obedience is calling on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Right? It means you're putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and that alone. Well, they're saying, they go back to Mark 16:16, what we just read, and they'll say, well, Jesus Christ said, go forth and baptize them. We're just being obedient. And they don't rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you're always going to wind up in a pickle. It without fail. It don't matter if you're the greatest theologian of all time. If you stop rightly dividing, you stop understanding the Word of God as He would have us to understand it. All right, so back to these verses they used in Matthew 7:21 and Luke 6:46. As we just said, it's the wrong dispensation. It's also the wrong gospel. The gospel that Jesus Christ preached was the gospel of the kingdom. That's a future time, right? It was taking place right then while Jesus Christ was preaching. Started with John. John came preaching, Jesus Christ was coming, be ye baptized. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Jesus Christ came preaching, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. Well, Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again. Now then you see it at the right hand of the Father. When he'd done that, we jumped into a different dispensation. Now then, you're saved by grace through faith. Greatest dispensation of all time to live in. Salvation has never been simpler. One day Jesus will come back, take his bride home, and then, boom, they're right back in the kingdom gospel. Just that quick. These jokers are looking over here and they're saying, oh, well, Jesus Christ said this. Yeah, but he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now then, we preach the gospel of grace. Right? So that's where they're getting messed up on that. And then you'll find over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews 5 and 9. The Bible says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Again, they're using the obedience. Then the Bible says over in the book of James, chapter 2. James 2, we ain't going to read all of it. It's, verse 14 through 26, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? For brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. All right, so they try to use that faith without works is dead bit, right? Goes back to them believing faith plus baptism. Baptism, in their sense of it, is a work, something you have to accomplish to be saved. We couldn't accomplish nothing on our own. All we can do is accept Christ's gift, right? He's got it sitting out here. We've all heard a preacher at some point say, hey, if somebody hands you $1 million and you don't take it, well, that's your own stupid fault, right? Guarantee you, Brother Gene walks up and hands me $1 million check, I'm going to rip his arm off. And then I'm going to have to use part of that $1 million to have it repaired because I done snatched it off, right? Jesus Christ is out here with a free gift of salvation. All you have to do is reach out and take it. But they just can't get a grasp of that. It's like, oh, it can't be that simple. You know, you got to work for it. You got to be baptized and all this other stuff. No, that's not it at all. What we just read was Hebrews and James. Now, in Hebrews is pretty self-explanatory. It's to the Hebrews, right? It's in the title of the book. Again, they're digging in the wrong dispensation. And then if you go to the book of James, it says in chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Written to the Jews, right? Doctrinally, it applies to the Jews. It's going to be another kingdom gospel verse, right? They've went and they've not rightly divided once again. All right, and then we'll find in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Once again, wrong dispensation. The only verse they use out of the right dispensation, out of Paul's writings, is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, and then they take it out of context. All right, so Galatians 3:26 says, but Jerusalem, which is, oh, I'm in chapter 4. I knew that didn't sound right. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So they use this once again to prove their theory on baptism. Baptism means to be immersed. There are several different kinds of baptism. That's a whole another Sunday school lesson on its own. There's baptism by fire, which is going to hell. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is when you get born again and the Lord immerses you in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the baptistry, right? Where you're immersed to the body of water representing what Christ has done for you, that you're a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Right here, It's talking about being immersed in Christ. The Bible speaks about whenever you get saved, you become a part of the body of Christ. Right? You're in His body. You can't be plucked out. That's what it's talking about. But they go and they rip it out of context because they think the only kind of baptism there can possibly be is the baptism by water. And that's not the case. They've just simply taken it out of context. Right here, it would mean, for as many as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. As many as have been placed into Christ, have put on Christ. You could use that word. I'm not correcting the King James Bible. Y'all don't jump on me on that one. I'm just simply saying that's what it's getting at. They done went and tried to distort it and mean, oh, buddy, bless God, you got to get baptized. Lutherans teach something similar to this. They believe faith plus works, right? You have to be born again and be baptized. If you don't get one or the other, well, then you're going to hell. That's why they baptize infants. I was stationed with one. He said the way they do it, only their preacher is supposed to baptize, except on deathbeds. And then you can be authorized for any layman to do it. And they just sprinkle you, right? Take a spray bottle. Wet you real good. He said to me, he was like, well, we might not can make you believe, but bless God, we can get you wet. He said, and we're going to get half of it done for you. So when they're born, they go ahead and they just go ahead and baptize them, saying, well, they couldn't help that one. Now then it's up to them to believe, but we got half the job done. Man, come on, right? And we're going to get deeper into that here in just a second. But that whole having been baptized into Christ, it means being placed in Christ at salvation. All right, now then, to combat them, we can go to the thief on the cross. The Bible says over in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now then, we all know the story. The thief is on the cross next to Jesus. One of them has rejected him and mocked him and said, hey, if you really the Christ, save yourself and us. This one said, hey, Lord, remember me when you enter into paradise. He said, I tell you what, you'll be with me this day in paradise. He got born again on the cross, right? Deathbed confession or profession. Now then, the Church of Christ tried to claim that it was in the old covenant. Therefore, he didn't have to be baptized. In other words, he was still under the law. Well, that's not the case neither. Because if that were the case, there was no lamb sacrificed. Right? Right here, the lamb was sacrificed. So now then, you're no longer in the old covenant. Blood has been shed. When this took place, Jesus Christ had shed his blood on the cross already. The atonement had been made. And the veil was torn in two. Now then, that veil represented God and man. Beforehand, man by himself couldn't just enter into that veil. It could only be the high priest. He had to wash his feet and he had to be anointed with oil when he took the office of the priest. And he could only go in once a year and sacrifice for the sins of the people. Now then, the veil's torn in two and we can all enter into the Holy of Holies. Right? Just like the thief on the cross did. Same thing. They'll try to say, oh, well, that's still Old Testament law. No, it ain't. No. If you're going to get it that, buddy, there's got to be a lamb or a bull somewhere. Right? He's done had to drag that joker up Calvary with him, hand it off to a Levitical priest to have it sacrificed before he takes his last breath. Right here, what'd he do? He accepted Christ. He acknowledged, hey, you are the Son of God. Hey, remember me when you enter into paradise. What happened? He got saved. Right? First convert after Christ's death. Pretty simple, right? All right, now then. We know that baptism does not save. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now then, it don't get much simpler than that. If you're here this morning, I'm sure you understand that salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. We're preaching to the choir. I understand that. But we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, "As Christ divided, was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." Okay, now then, even they would have to acknowledge that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He's our apostle. He's delivering us the word of God and doctrine that applies to us directly. From Romans to Philemon. Buddy, you can count on all of that, right? All the books good? That applies directly to me and you. Paul came in on the scene and he said, "Buddy, I thank God I didn't baptize none of you but those three, those two and the house of Stephanas." That's it. Now then, if salvation required baptism, I would dare say that Paul would have run around drowning people, right? He said that he had no blood on his hands. So if that's the case, if he were either he lied and he did have blood on his hands because he refused to baptize folks, or two, it's not a requisite to salvation, right? It's pretty simple. Look here, if it was mandatory that you be baptized to be saved, I'd be walking around Walmart with a water bottle. I'd be squirting everybody as a go-by. "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Every one of them. I'd go get me a super soaker out the children's department. Just wearing them out, right? We go to the lake, I'd be drowning everybody. I'd be getting them all on the boat, pushing them overboard. Yelling out, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost" as I go in. That's not the case. Wasn't the case with Paul neither. He had just a handful that he had baptized and was thankful that that was all. Because at that time they had divided themselves the way camps are today and said, "Hey, I'm of Paul and I'm of Barnabas and I'm of whoever." He said, "Well, thank God I didn't baptize but just this handful, lest you could say, 'Hey, I was baptized Paul's baptism.'" Uh-uh, that ain't the way it works. All right, so, man, it seems like you could go to that and just seal the whole deal for them. They also teach that baptism places you into the kingdom. Okay, so we find over in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." All right, now then, once again, they've taken something out of context. Right there where it says being born of water and of the Spirit, it's talking about a physical birth and a spiritual birth. When somebody has a baby, what happens? Their water breaks, right? You were born of water, and then when you got saved, you were born of the Spirit. They're saying you got to be born of water and ask Christ to save you. It's not it. They done went and took it out of context. It was a physical and spiritual birth that took place. All right, now then, they also teach that it grants remission of sins. The Bible says over in Romans 3:25, it says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." All right, so we find that, the remission of sins came through the shedding of blood, right? Bible says over in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission of sins doesn't come through water. It don't happen. It does, however, come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that alone. Can't be baptized into it. All right, they also teach it brings the Holy Spirit. They go over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The Bible says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." All right, so they say, "Oh, well, if you ain't baptized, you don't receive the Holy Ghost. And then they skip Acts chapter 10 and verse 47, where it says, "Can any man forbid that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" So the Holy Ghost came in before baptism. And they're saying it don't come until after. Well, that's incorrect as well. It comes the moment you accept Christ as your Savior. Very second. You get down on your knees, "Lord, save my soul from hell." Just that fast. Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. I mean, it's miraculous, and you can't even comprehend the way the Lord works it. Right? All right. And then, as we already said, it doesn't save. The Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now then, they'll say right here that baptism doth also now save us. But it says the like figure, right? It's an example. It's a figure. It's a type of salvation. Hey, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was buried in the likeness of Christ. Rose up again a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a testimony to the world. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Baptism is absolutely an ordinance of Jesus Christ. It's to be done. When you accept Christ, you should be baptized. It's that simple. But if you don't, if you get saved on your deathbed, ain't nobody got no water around, well, then you're still just as saved. But you didn't have time to act upon the ordinance. Right? It's very simple. I don't know why they can't get it. This, they take it all sorts out of context. It even says not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Baptism doesn't wash nothing. Right? If somebody gets baptized thinking that's going to save them, they go down a dry center and come up a wet center. It's all that takes place. Church of the Highlands, up around where we're at, it's all they do. And if you read their statement of faith, they'll fool you. Right? It sounds just like any other Baptist church. We believe salvation by grace through faith. However, whenever you're trying to win a soul and find out they're going to church there, "Hey, when'd you get born again?" "Well, I got baptized just last week. See my shirt?" No. No, you didn't. No. Bible says baptism doesn't save you. What about this? Huh? "Well, when did you ask the Lord to save you?" "Oh, every night before I go to bed." It's like, and then you just want to go up and shake Pastor Chris, choke him out, right? Be like, "You fool, you sending folks to hell." We've had folks come through our church that were going to that place, confident they were born again, then come to realize that they were just as lost, and all they were trusting in was that T-shirt and a horse trough. We had an old lady in our church who grew up Church of Christ. Look, she sat in our church, I don't know, as long as I'd been there for sure, which was at least 3 or 4 years prior to her getting born again. And she said she realized something wasn't right. And now look, we preached against it all the time. I know I personally had taught on the Church of Christ and how baptism didn't save you. And I'm fairly confident Miss Janice was sitting there, right? I don't know what was taking so long, but one day the Lord's like smacked her and said, "Hey, that baptism is going to take you to hell." She was trusting in being baptized as a child. Then one day the Lord hit her and was like, "Hey, that ain't what's going to save you. It's by putting your faith and trust in me." And then after she got saved, we went and baptized her for real, right? Only after she'd been born again. All right, now then, look, Church of Christ has a salvation checklist, okay? And look, I didn't just make all this stuff up on my own. I was lucky. They sent a little brochure to my dad. And I loved it. He said, "Here, son, you want something to preach against? This is Church of Christ literature. It came from the Jacksonville Church of Christ in Jacksonville, Alabama." Right? I got all this that we went over this morning from inside this stuff. It's just like what do they call that other one? The Jehovah's Witness literature. I can't remember what it's called. It's about the same thing. Watchtower. There it is. Thank you, brother. Inside this little pamphlet, they say there's a salvation checklist. Number one, there's God's divine love. They go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Number two is God's grace, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's like, man, they're on the right track, right? Christ's blood. And they go over to Romans 5:9. We'll go there right quick. I think I got time. Excuse me. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. All right, so they're on the right track, it seems like. And then they say there's the Holy Spirit's word, which is Romans 1:16, which says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It said to everyone that believeth, right? Not to everyone that believeth and is baptized, but to everyone that believeth. Then they say there's the sinner's faith, and they go over there to Acts 16:31. Excuse me. Where the Bible says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. This is the Philippian jailer account. There's the sinner's repentance, which takes place over in Luke 13:3. The sinner's confession over in Romans 10:10. And we all know, that one's, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then this is where they mess up. They say there's the sinner's baptism, and they go to Acts 22:16. Okay? The washing of sins came by the calling on the Lord. It didn't come by the baptism that took place there. All right, and then they say there's the Christian's love. All right, so now then they say, okay, well, you've believed and you've been baptized, so you're saved. And now then there's some things that ought to show there's the Christian's love over in Matthew 22:37. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. All right, and then they say there's the Christian's work. Over in James 2:24, I believe we read that just a minute ago, about faith without works is dead. Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, once again, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? Then they go over here and they say, oh, faith without works is dead. They just failed to read the first verse. It's written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Right? Crazy stuff. Then there's the Christian's hope, which is over in Romans 8:24. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And then the Christian's endurance. I go over to Revelation 2:10. The Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So look, they say, all right, so salvation comes by the divine love of God over in John 3:16. It's God's grace that saves you, and Christ's blood is the propitiation of our sins. It's his blood that washes away the sins of the world. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts the sinner. The sinner puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they repent of their sins. They confess their sins to the Lord. With the mouth, confession is made unto God, right? Up until here, they've been pretty well right. And then they get into the baptism. They say, all right, well, you believe, bless God, thank God for it. Now then, you got to be baptized. And if you don't do both, buddy, you're going to hell. And then after you've been baptized, you've got to maintain. So they teach that you've got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then you've got to continue to work, because faith without works is dead. And then you've got to hope. Buddy, you got to keep on hoping. And after that, buddy, you got to endure to the end. If you can't do all that, you're still going to die and go to hell. Even though you accepted him and got baptized, you're still going to hell. Now then, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? We can't lose our salvation. I'm sure everyone here already knows that. We're sealed to the day of redemption. Over in, I believe it's Ephesians 4:25, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We ain't got to worry about losing our salvation. If I had to worry about maintaining my salvation, I could never drive Highway 280 again. Okay? Because the road rage is real. And I get mad at stupid people real quick. I got mad this morning in Jack's. I was hollering. I said, hold up, baby, that stupid idiot. Now, look, I never cussed them. But it might not have been for a lack of wanting to. Right? Here they come by. And I'm like, buddy, I'm going, yep, I see you. I see you. I used to point at all of them. I got a little bit better. Somebody be just walking across the road as slow as they can go just to make you mad, I'd point at them. But, yep, I got you. Wasn't going to do nothing but made me feel better, right? So, look, if that were the case, I lost my salvation this morning in Jack's parking lot trying to get a sausage biscuit because there was some idiot that couldn't drive, all right? We go to Grandview for the doctor in a week. I will lose my salvation again if that were the case. I can't handle it. Them folks really make you mad on 280, especially right there at Grandview. I don't know what it is. That one little section, man, they just can't get it down. It's like if y'all would just go the speed limit and not act a fool, we'd all be all right. There wouldn't be a bunch of wrecks up here all the time. Be somebody texting, nearly hit you. And I want to jump out and just beat their glass in and be like, give me that phone. Let me show you a trick. Right? And toss it off in the Cahaba River. But you can't do that. But I'd lose my salvation according to the Church of Christ. Right? Now look, a lot of times you'll find with this losing your salvation bit, they change the rules based on their sins. I knew this Church of God preacher. My brother Jared's dad was sitting at the Huddle House with him and they were talking God on doctrine somehow or another. He said, so you mean tell me if your wife's in a car wreck and when she sees that car coming, she looks and she lets a bad word come out and that car hits her and kills her before she has time to repent that she's going to hell? He said, yep. Wasn't a few minutes later, he was talking about how much he had ate and how he ate way too much. He said, oh, I done ate way too much over here. And look, Brother Jared's daddy was huge, okay? But he was sitting there and he said, so you going to hell, right? He said, I ain't going to hell, I'm saved. He said, well, you just said you ate too much. You ain't repented of it. You obviously don't care. So you going to hell if you die right now. He said, no, that don't count. It ain't like that. See, that's the way a lot of them are. Any Church of God person I met believes you can lose your salvation. It all applies except for their stuff. It only mean you're only going to lose it if you kill somebody or if you cheat on your wife. Or something like that, right? And they get to change the rules. It's probably the same way with the Church of Christ. Oh, well, it don't matter if I'm doing this or I'm doing that. I watch Buck Commander a lot on YouTube. I like watching them hunt. They're hilarious. Willie Robertson, though, you'll see a beer next to him every now and then. It's like, oh, Willie. Well, then, buddy, it looks like you ain't enduring. I guess you're going to hell, huh? Now, I don't know if you ever got born again or not, but according to their doctrine, he's going to hell, right? Because he ain't got it under the blood. You see them episodes with Phil and they're trespassing somewhere, I know it's all put on, right? But nonetheless, he's not abstaining from the appearance of evil. Is it not the appearance of evil to be poaching on somebody's place? So he's going to hell, right? But they're going to say, no, that's just entertainment. That don't count. See what I'm saying? They change that junk up to fit their own stuff. So we found that the Church of Christ are wrong on many avenues. Number one, in believing that salvation is by grace plus baptism. It's by grace through faith plus nothing minus nothing forever. And also in the fact that they believe you can lose your salvation. Well, that's not the case. We know that we are sealed until the day of redemption. And so if y'all have any Church of Christ friends, excuse me. How many Church of Christ friends, they get to hound you on doctrine. Now then you might can go back to them and say, well, hey, the Bible says this. What about that, big boy? You enduring to the end? You get on that enduring to the end, you'll watch them go, sound like Porky Pig, right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come to you again, I want to thank you for loving us and dying for us and being so good. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us this morning. Please, Lord, let your word be preached in the preaching services you'd see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.